Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all to Greater Alton Church this fine first Sunday after Easter. The tomb is still empty. Yeah, that's pretty exciting. My name is Mike Denius, if you do not know me, and I am very glad that you are here this morning. I'm also glad that Bob Quick has shaved off his beard. He looks great back there. Sorry, Bob. I just saw you. I was like, oh, look at him. There's a few things coming up that I want to let you all know about. One of them is camp. There are three camps coming up, primary, junior high, and senior high camps are all coming up. Before services on the announcements, you could see that. I bet they're in your bulletin too. I don't know. I didn't get a bulletin this morning. They're not. But there's information on camps. At Greater Alton, we get really excited about summer camp, getting to go away. And I don't know who's more excited, the adults or the teens. Who do you think? Mila, who do you think? Adults or teens more excited about summer camp? About the same, huh? 6, 7. She's my niece and I can embarrass her. It's fine. VBS is also coming up this summer. That's also something we get really excited about around here. Something else that's really exciting is on Wednesday, Ada got baptized. Ada, stand up! Woo! Wave to your crowd. It's really exciting. It's pretty cool to be a part of God's kingdom, and God's kingdom is not just here. Our baptistry, I don't know if it still is, but it was broke. It sprung a leak, and so we called Vaughn Hill, and they're like, yeah, come on over. And after their Wednesday night services, we all were there, and some of them stuck around too. That was pretty cool. It was pretty fun. We're in this sermon series called Free Indeed. We've been in it all year so far because we're celebrating the 250th anniversary of this country and our freedom in this country. Why not talk about the freedom that is way more important than the freedom we have in our country? And that's the freedom we have in Christ. And so we've been talking about what we are free for, what we are free from, what our freedom gives us. And today, as you can see on the screen, we're going to be talking about freedom from worry. How many of you... Because I'm here. This is me. I'm preaching to myself. I'll tell you guys that a lot, that I preach to myself pretty often. How many here would love to be free from worry? I would love to be free from worry. I got to tell you a story about this sermon and why we're doing it today. Do you remember a few months back, we had a snowstorm and church got canceled? I was supposed to do this sermon that Sunday. Supposed to do that sermon that Sunday. And then it just kept getting bounced around like, oh, you could do it the Sunday before Easter. And I was like, no, that's Palm Sunday. I should do Free to Dance that one. And there was some other, it was just this logistical thing. And we're like, I'll do it the week after Easter. It'll be fine. It'll be good. And then like stuff has happened this past week, right? Like, I was talking to Kara this morning, and Anna Sophia's having surgery on Thursday, and we're all going to be praying about that. My daughter, Kara, is having surgery on Tuesday, and she's really worried. She's never had anesthesia. She's never had all this. And so I've been talking to her about, you don't need to be worried. Last Saturday, many of you know, last Saturday night, our dog got loose. And usually we find her within an hour or two. We were out till 11 o'clock at night Saturday looking for our dog, and we never found her. I got up at 3:45 in the morning Sunday looking for my dog, and I looked until I had to come here to get ready to preach. Never found her. Every day after work, I went home with a chainsaw and just started going through the woods in our backyard looking for this dog, walking the neighborhood, driving around, putting up posters. We were getting a little worried. Now, I know there's a difference between concern and worry, concern for the welfare of your animal, but like just stressing and worry could have really eaten us up. And thankfully, Wednesday, we found her. And that's a whole nother story because my beautiful furry idiot is just special. But she's home and safe. And so I think this is just another one of those moments where God proves to me he has a sense of humor. I believe my Father in heaven has a sense of humor, and his sense of humor, I think I get it from him because I like the irony that's in humor, where God's like, I'm trying to teach you something. You're going to learn today, boy. And I think it's important that I keep my trust in God. We're going to talk about that today. In your bulletin, if you got one, there's some notes you can follow along with. And right off the bat, I have a definition of worry as defined by a dictionary, not by me. Worry is mental distress or agitation resulting from concern, usually for something impending or anticipated, also known as anxiety. So it's mental distress, it's agitation, it results from concern, usually for something impending or anticipated. Worry and anxiety, for the most part, are not about something that is actually happening. They're not about something that you are going through. It's about something you might go through. It's something that might happen, that could. It's all those scenarios, those worst case scenarios that play through your brain. Or maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I just sit there and have worst case scenarios playing through my brain. Like I said, I'm preaching to myself this morning. I have been the victim of stress and anxiety and worry. And when I go through those seasons in life, I am not only mentally drained, because I am. Like you can ask my wife. In those moments, Sunday afternoon, we got to my in-law's house and they're already eating. I had to take my daughter to the urgent care after church because looking for the dog, she fell through a stair and a screw went into her calf. So that also happened. And so me and Blythe show up late, obviously, she's fine. And I'm sitting across the table from my father-in-law. He goes, "You look tired." I was like, "I'm very tired." And my brain was not working. It was not functioning properly. When I get super stressed, I just shut down. Like, I can't think. And I get so tired. I get so physically drained. When I was younger, I probably told the story up here because it was one of my favorite stories of my life. I hated going to Aldi. Because every time my mom took me to Aldi, there was a tornado. And you might think that's a silly correlation. And she did too. She's like, "That's not true." And the one day she picked us up after school and she's like, "We gotta get groceries for dinner." I go, "Please take me home first." And she said, "No, it's a beautiful, sunny day. I'm not taking you home first because that's a 20-minute, out-of-the-way drive. It's a waste of gas. Aldi's on the way home. We can just go there, get what I need for dinner, and go home and make dinner." I'm like, "Please, please." She's like, "No, stop stressing about it." We went into Aldi and we got what we needed. And as we come out, the tornado sirens are going off and the sky is green. And she looked at me and she goes, "You never have to go to Aldi ever again." I would get physically ill with thunderstorms. When I was in second grade, I read a book all about the storms of the Midwest, and that was a mistake. Because I was in second grade, so it probably wasn't this big, but to me, it was like this big, and it had these big, colorful photographs of like storms rolling through, destroying stuff, and like, the captions were like, "This storm killed 300 people in 2 hours," and I'm like, and I would read it before I went to bed. That's not smart. My mom was encouraging us to read and we would bring home books from the library. I guess she should have like went through and checked what books we were bringing home from the library. But storms would stress me out. Like, I would get sick because there's a tornado watch or tornado warning. And I'm like, oh. You know, there's storms in life too that can stress us out. There's storms in life, too, that can stress us out. In your notes, there's a couple of blanks there. That first one, less worry doesn't equal less storms in life or fewer storms. I speak English good. I wrote that. And yesterday when I was going through my notes, I was like, that should say fewer, but it's too late now. Less worry doesn't equal fewer storms in life. Just because I worry less doesn't mean I'm going to go through storms less. Less worry comes from knowing that God is in control. Less worry comes from knowing that God is in control. Let's look at a scripture about this, about how less worry comes from knowing God is in control. It's in Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 39 through 41. It's a really popular passage that we've talked about many times. It's the disciples and Jesus get in a boat, and they go across the Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes up. And the disciples get scared. They're like, "Oh my gosh, we're gonna die." I've been on a lake in a storm. It can be scary. And the lake I was on was nowhere near as big as the Sea of Galilee. But the disciples were like, oh my gosh, help me Jesus. And they, picking it up in verse 39, it says, and he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. The Mike D translation would be like, shut up. He just told the wind and the sea to shut up. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You know what I notice about this passage? It's storming on Jesus too. And he's taking a nap. Now that I'm older, I'm less concerned about the weather. In fact, I am the stereotypical Midwest dad. When the sirens go off, you know what that means? Thank you. I love going on my front porch and watching the trees go like this and then pop back up. My wife and children and dog are in the basement. They're smart. I open the windows. That helps, right? They're not going to shatter in my face if the pressure changes. But, oh man, I love going out and watching the rain. I love sleeping in that weather. That's chef's kiss. You turn on the AC, a fan, and let the thunder roll. Mwah. That's the best sleep you ever had in your life. Younger Mike, he might have been throwing up because he was so stressed. Jeez, it's storming on Jesus too. He's in the same boat as these guys, and he's able to sleep through it. The disciples aren't alone. Jesus is with them. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Did Jesus have peace even though he was in a storm? Absolutely. Absolutely. Why did Jesus have peace in that storm? Because he knew who was in control. He knew who was in control. He knew his Father has everything in control. So this morning, I want to talk about how we can have peace in our life. How we can have freedom from worry. So how can God bring peace into my life? And we're going to talk about four things this morning. God will provide peace in my life when I first surrender. God will provide peace in my life when I surrender. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter's telling a crowd, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's important, because if we look in this next passage on your notes in Galatians chapter 5, it tells us that the fruit of the Spirit that we received when we repent and be baptized, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And it goes on. There's more fruit. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. We receive God's Spirit at baptism according to Scripture. When we are baptized and repent, God's Spirit dwells in us. He comes to live with us. We become the temple. And if I want that peace, I have to surrender to God. If I want God's peace, I have to be His child. And just like Peter, on the day of Pentecost, was telling the crowd to repent and be baptized, this morning, I'm offering that to you too. Not from me. It doesn't come from me. It comes from God. That ability to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And this morning, is the baptistry fixed? It might not be fixed yet, but we know a place where there is one. If that is something that God has put on your heart, talk to somebody who brought you. They can open up the Scripture and show you what God offers. Because the life that God has provided for me when I was baptized is far better than what I had before. There is a peace in my life because I know who is in control in all of the storms. Yes, I lost some sleep this week over a furry baby. But I had a wife who just kept saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. No matter what happens, it's going to be okay because we are God's children. And maybe you've had a diagnosis this week. I know a couple of people in here have had a diagnosis this week that could shake your faith, could shake your world. But I also know that some of those people have some deep peace in their life because they trust God. They trust God that He is in control of everything. I've listened to preachers who talk about the struggles they're going through, and it's kind of a joke, but he goes, "What's the big deal? I trip and fall and all of a sudden I see Jesus? I go to sleep and I all of a sudden see Jesus? I eat a donut and I get to meet Jesus? What's the big deal?" Because he knows that there's a promise. At the end of this life, at the end of this body, there's a glorified one. There's heaven. There's the kingdom. I get to be in the presence of Jesus. And yes, that might seem scary, and yes, that might be painful, and yes, we got to go through that because that is part of life. Death is part of life. But we only got to die once as Christians. Because then we get to live forever. And the arthritis that I currently feel in my left shoulder is going to be gone. And all of the pain that you might experience is going to be gone. Because in heaven, God will wipe away every tear. And you, this morning, if you have not surrendered your life to the Father, if you have not surrendered, you don't have His peace. Because it comes from Him and comes from His Spirit that you receive at baptism. Just like what Peter said. So this morning, the first thing you can do to try to overcome worry is surrender to God and let Him fight that fight for you. God will provide peace in my life when I surrender. He will also provide peace in my life when I pray. When I pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18 says this. "Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus to you." I gotta let you know, and I've said this before, prayer is not my strong suit. It's not my go-to. All it should be. It really should be. This is me confessing. It is not my first thing, like, I need to pray without ceasing. You know what that means? I shouldn't stop. And there are times where I'm like, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? And God's like, I'm waiting. Come talk to me. I know He is. And God talks to everybody different. God talks to me with a smack upside the back of the head a lot of the time. So I don't know how He talks to you. That's just how He talks to me. But I should be praying without ceasing. And I should be giving thanks in all circumstances. I should be giving thanks in the storms. I should be giving thanks in the storms. If I keep my eyes on God, if I keep talking to God, if I keep bringing what I need, my worries, my desires to God, I am going to be able to give thanks in all circumstances. In Philippians chapter 4, starting in the second half of verse 5, it says this, "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." There have been times in my life where I should, according to the world, have been freaking out. We were doing premarital counseling with a couple, and our lives are busy and crazy and hectic, and lots of yours are too. And we had to do two things that night. We had to do premarital counseling with this couple, and we had to meet somebody else to deliver some things. And I was like, hey, can you guys just go with us and we'll do it on the road? And they're like, yeah. And so we met this other person out at the Mills Mall when it was still a mall. And I was like, let's just eat at the food court and we'll have premarital counseling in the food court. It'll be great. Blythe was teeny tiny. She was teeny tiny. She was baby. She was eating food, but she was little. And, I'm sitting there talking to this young man. And we're talking about premarital stuff. And little Blythe snatches a whole piece of broccoli out of my bowl, shoves it in her mouth real quick, and starts choking. Like turning blue, choking. And I go, and I just stick my hand out like this. He's freaking out. He's like, oh my gosh, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? I'm like, just give it a second. And then the broccoli came out. And I was like, are you done with your Burger King bag? And he went, yes. I went, okay. And he's like, how did you stay so calm? How did you stay so calm? I was like, okay, listen, you're going to have kids one day and you have to stay calm, because if you don't, your kid dies. And he went, oh, I'm like, yeah, that's a thing. Later on in life, I'm hanging out with one of the teens, and Kara had a habit of putting money in her mouth for some reason. She was crawling around. At least this time it was only a nickel. Later it was a quarter. But this time it was a nickel, and she was crawling around. I don't know why it was a nickel on the floor. We're poor. I would have picked that up. But she found a nickel and put it in her mouth, and she started choking. And the teen that was with me is also like, oh my gosh, what do we do? And I was like, hold on. And I just picked her up and went boom right on the back, and out came the nickel like a change dispenser. And again, he's like, how did you stay so calm? You have to stay calm. You got to trust that you're training, that you, what you know what you're doing, because hopefully as a parent, you know a little bit that your kid's going to survive. And in life, God is trying to teach me how to stay calm, how to rely on him, just like my daughters rely on me. I need to rely on God. And to rely on God, I need to talk to him. I need to pray to him. Therapy is great. Therapy is great. Talking it out with somebody is great. Are you also talking it out to God? Are you also talking to a doctor about struggles is awesome, but are you talking to the creator of the universe about what is giving you anxiety, about what you're worried about? Because he's got the blueprints for everything. He knows how to fix it. This week when I was looking for my dog, I broke my pole saw. I was going through the woods, cutting everything at the base, so I didn't have to bend over. I was like, this is going to go so fast. And then my pole saw broke. And I was like, I don't know how to fix this. So I did what everybody does. I got on YouTube. And I looked up, how do you fix this? And this guy is tearing apart the same pole saw I got. And he gets to it. He goes, there's a fuse in the pole. Who put a fuse in the pole? He goes, some of you are going to be mad because I'm not putting a fuse back. I go, I ain't mad. That's exactly what I was going to do. My pole saw works because I know how, I looked up how to fix it. And it doesn't have a fuse anymore. So I might blow up my motor one day, but my pole saw works. God knows how you work. He put you together. He knows your blueprint. He knows if a circuit breaks, he knows how to fix it. Are you talking to your manufacturer? Are you looking up your warranty? Yeah, you still have a warranty. It doesn't expire. Some of you think my warranty expired, but it doesn't, because God knows how to fix it. Are you talking to him about it? Are you seeking him? Are you praying in everything? Again, I'm weak in this. Prayer's not my first thought, but James tells us in the book of James that we don't have because we don't ask. Am I asking God to help me with my anxiety? Am I asking him to take it away? Am I asking him to help me through it? Am I asking him to help me rely on him? That this passage in Philippians equates lifting everything up in prayer to peace. It said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You're going to be going through storms in life one day, and somebody's going to be like, how are you so calm right now? You don't have two nickels to rub together. Yeah, because my kid swallowed one of them. But you are so calm right now. You shouldn't be calm right now. I'm calm because I know who's in control of the storm. Passes all understanding, and I have peace. And he will guard my heart and my mind. That's what that says. He will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Again, you have to be in Christ Jesus, but we also have to be lifting things up to him. If you want peace, you must pray. What else? How else can God help me overcome? Well, he will help me overcome when I trust. When I trust. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This passage hurts. this is one of those passages where I just have to sigh, because there's a lot of times I try to lean on my own understanding. There's a lot of times I feel like I'm wise in my own eyes. I have to be humble. There's a humility. And I've noticed when I get kind of puffed up, God allows something to knock me back down. That's just how God works with me. He's probably more gentle with you guys, but God knows me. I'm a stubborn idiot, and he loves me. And I have to be reminded not to lean on my own understanding and not to be wise in my own eyes. I have to trust God. I have to trust God. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking, and starting in verse 32, it says this: "For the Gentiles seek after all these things," and I encourage you to go back and read what all these things are, "and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, because God's going to provide everything we need, our clothes, our food, our shelter, God's going to provide. And because he provides, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." I got enough trouble today. I don't need to worry about tomorrow. Just so y'all know, my concern for today is whether or not the Battle Hawks can beat the Birmingham Stallions, but that's neither here nor there. I'm going to have a nice, relaxing day. That's my goal. Catch up on some rest, mental drain. I'm going to let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. Work is waiting for me. I know it's waiting for me because it's work. It'll be fine. But do I trust God to take care of me? Because that's what Jesus is talking about. Our needs. Is God going to provide my needs? Obviously, God has provided a little bit too well for my needs. He blesses us. He gives me more than I need. "For a while, I stressed about the safety of our girls." Like more stress than I should. You should be concerned about your children. You should be concerned about the welfare of your children. But I was like, it was intrusive thoughts. That's how Satan gets at me, is intrusive thoughts. I want you to think about how dumb this sounds, okay? I just told you God has the blueprint. I struggled with allowing the creator of the universe, which includes my daughters, to take care of my daughters. I don't know about you, but to me, saying that out loud sounds dumb. But that's where I was. I struggled allowing the creator of the universe, who knows how everything works, to take care of my kids. And there's a lot that builds into it. I told you about how Carl likes to swallow change and choke on stuff. Blythe is a twin, and we don't have her sibling. So there was a lot of things that I didn't know I was struggling with at first. And I had to go into my life and realize where this struggle was coming from. And I laid that all at God's feet, and he's helped me through it, and I trust God immensely. I don't think that's a struggle anymore. But that doesn't mean I don't go through seasons of attack from Satan. But I know where his attacks come from and when I'm vulnerable. And because of that, I can trust God. You see, right now, in this season of life, the attacks from Satan mostly come when I'm tired, hungry, drained, and alone. Tired, hungry, drained, and alone. And it's usually when I'm in bed and almost asleep. Just almost there. And a little thought will pop through my head. Blythe's in a car accident. She's in a ditch somewhere. What? Where did that come from? Or car's hurt somewhere. Or, hey, check Cassie. She's not breathing. And I'm like, oh, shut up. Why are you trying to keep me awake right now? This is stupid. And I'll just, a little quick prayer. God, I know this isn't from you. Can you, stab that thought with a Q-tip so I can go back to sleep. And, you know, that usually works for me. Sometimes I have to put an earbud in, and my wife has taught me you should, like, listen to scripture. It's really great. It is. I'll put an earbud in and turn on scripture or a story or just some music because my brain will just keep focusing on something, and I got to learn to turn my brain off. And so I go through that. Satan knows my weaknesses, and he knows how to erode my trust in God, and he knows yours too. He wants to erode the trust that I have in my Father in heaven, and he wants to erode that trust that you have too, and he knows how to attack you. And we need to be wise to the schemes of Satan. We need to be wise, because I don't know about you guys, but I want to trust God, because that trust that I have in my Father brings peace into my life. And I want that peace. I need that peace. The last thing we're going to talk about this morning is how I can, how God can help me through the anxiety in my life, how he can bring peace into my life. Is God will bring peace into my life when I hope. When I hope. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." You may abound in hope. You see, hope is hard to describe to somebody who doesn't have it. Hope is incredibly hard to describe to somebody who doesn't have it. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 1, tells us, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Hope is powerful. And the God of hope wants you to have it too. The God of hope wants you to have it too. Did you know that the soldier on the battlefield without hope is closer to death than the one who still has it? The soldier on the battlefield is closer to death than the one who still has hope. We have hope. As God's children, we have hope because we know we're in a war. God and his angels versus Satan and his angels, the kingdom of light versus the dominion of darkness. There's a war happening, a spiritual battle raging for the souls of this planet, of this life. Because there's more than what we see. And those of us in the kingdom of light know that there's more to come after this. And so we have this hope that one day we're not going to be here anymore, but we're going to be present with God. And all the fighting, all the war, all the pain, all the sickness, all the suffering is going to be gone. And I have that hope. I'll ask somebody, "How you doing today?" And every once in a while they're like, "Ugh." And then my next comment is, still on this side of the dirt. And they're like, "Yeah, we're still on this side of the dirt. Because when I'm on the other side of the dirt, I'm going to be with Jesus. And it's going to be great. It's going to be great." One of my favorite movie quotes comes from a character in the midst of a losing battle. And they've pretty much resigned to dying. They're like, "I'm going to die. That's just what it's going to be." And then they're having this conversation with another character, and the conversation they have gives them hope. And in that moment, they pick up a gun and say, "Screw this, I'm gonna live." And they just start blasting away. I love that quote. I love it because that's what hope is. That's what hope changes. You're resigned to dying, and then all of a sudden a little bit of hope. You're like, "Screw this, I'm gonna live. It's gonna be great." I love that quote. You see, hope is powerful. Hope is so powerful. Let's look at the definition of hope. Hope is a confident expectation of future events, also known as peace. It's a confident expectation of future events. Now, on your notes, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look at what the definition of worry was versus the definition of hope. The definition of worry versus the definition of hope. And what do you notice? Because, you know, I would love to tell you I came up with this idea and that I'm a smart man, but I am not. I did not come up with this idea. I was just reading definitions. And I was like, wait a minute. Look at this. Worry Worry is mental distress or agitation resulting from the concern, usually, of something impending or anticipated. That's future events. That's something that's not happening yet. It might happen. It could happen. Hope is a confident expectation of something impending, of something that could happen. They're both looking at future events. They're both looking at future events, but the thought process is different. Worry focuses on negative. Hope is confident. It's a confident expectation. Why are Christians so hopeful? Because we have a confident expectation that our Father is going to take care of us and make everything right. It's not right now, but one day it will be. And we are His children, and He's going to take care of His kids. And I can say that confidently. I can say that God is going to take care of my children confidently now, because I've worked through those issues. I've worked through that anxiety. Hope isn't just about positive outcomes either. A loved one, a friend, is on their deathbed. Yeah, it's sad. There's a loss that's about to happen. But if they're a Christian, there's also a celebration, because we have hope. You can have hope in a depressing and negative situation because you know God is in control of all things. That's the power. The power doesn't come from me. It comes from God. You can have hope, and you can have hope today. Do you have hope in your life? If not, maybe you need to go back to step one and surrender. Maybe you need to go to step two, and you need to pray in all things without ceasing and lift it all up to God. Maybe you're not trusting God, because you got to have those things to have that hope and have that power from God. Jesus wants us to be free from worry this morning. And it's not just a flip of the switch. I totally understand that. I know what I'm saying is difficult. You can't just wake up and be like, I have hope. I'm going to trust God. It's a step every day. It's a surrender every day. It's praying every day. And Jesus will walk through it with you. His Spirit will dwell in you and guide you and give you that hope and that peace that surpasses all understanding. So that one day you can look back and be like, I should be really worried right now, but I'm not. I should be stressed out right now, but I'm not. I should have all this anxiety in my life right now, but I don't, because the God who created the universe holds me in His hand and cares deeply about me. And this morning in your bulletin, there's a prayer card. It's an opportunity for you to just talk to God. I said you need to pray, because Scripture tells us to pray and lift everything up to God. If you have some prayer, if you have some anxiety, if you have some worry in your life, it's an awesome place to start, to write down a prayer, because we have a prayer team here at Greater Alton, and they pray over every card, and there's a bunch of people that pray over these cards. And it's not like we're just going to go talk about what you're worried about and stressed about. We're just going to lift it up to God, and we're going to let Him work. We're going to let Him work. We're going to get out of the way and let the Creator of the universe work in your life through the prayer that you're asking for. There's some other boxes on there. If you're interested in studying baptism or more about this church, you can check some boxes and fill out some information, and somebody will be in contact with you. In the back, there are some baskets, and you're going to see after church people putting their prayer card in there. Our members are going to be putting an offering in there. If you're a guest here this morning, we did not ask you to come so that you give us something. That's not what we want. If you feel like you need to, we're not going to tell you no, because that's between you and God. But don't feel obligated to give anything. If you want to write a prayer down, put it in the basket. That's great. And you're going to see the baskets in the back. Our worship team is going to come back up, and we're going to sing a song, give you time to fill out those prayer cards, and then we'll sing another song, and we'll be dismissed for the day. I pray that today you are free from worry, or you start to be free from worry. It's a walk. It's a step. It's a path. And God will guide you on it. And God will lead you through it. Because He promised us His Spirit. a spirit of peace. I pray that the rest of your day on this beautiful Sunday afternoon is filled with joy, not stress, and that we can worship our Father in all we do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that you've given us. I pray for those of us that struggle with anxiety and worry and stress, that we can lean on you, Father, not on our own understanding, not on our own knowledge, but on you, the creator of the universe who holds all things in his hand, Father. You are so good to us. I want to lift up Anna Sophia and Cara and Debbie and all others who are struggling with sickness and surgeries coming up, all the stress and anxiety that that could bring. I pray your healing hand working with the doctors. I pray for the best possible outcome, Father, but I'm going to leave what that outcome is up to you. Father, we love you and we are so grateful to be your children. Again, this week I ask that you guide us and you help us to walk in step with your spirit so that the worries and the stresses of this life don't overcome us, but that we can overcome them through your spirit and through your love. And for those that haven't surrendered to you, Father, I pray that you work on their heart and that they can lean, they can look to you and they can seek you because you're not far from any of us, and that they can surrender to you and start that walk that is so beautiful and so wonderful to be a part of your family and to walk alongside you, Father. Thank you so much for all that you do. It is in your name I pray. Amen.
Oh Lord, you searched me. You know. Oh,